bring him in now, my partner for the Green and Gold Post Game Show, also part of the Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson joining us. G, how you been, buddy?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We're all just kind of hunkered down in our own locations and taking it easy and such, so not bad. First and foremost, I got to ask you, now this whole fan tournament, that Fandemonium tournament that begins tonight, you tell me, you've been around a long time on the fan locally in Milwaukee. You tell me who you think some of the more popular people are.
Well, I mean, probably Mike Wicket.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to go vote, I mean, he had quite a following. Some guys behind the scene, BVS, Brian Van Sork, a guy that was behind the scene that did a lot for us as far as setting up our equipment, getting us out on remotes, crowd management. I mean, that's back then, Bill, where we had a lot of money, and we would send guys out on remote with us, and we had crowd control. And, you know, of course,
right.
Over a period of time, all those guys, you know, we kept back, and so he'll be a good popular choice among a lot of those people. So maybe like an unsung hero, so to speak, or maybe like a long shot. We had a lot of guys over a period of years. Josh Vernier, who was on the Big Show from the beginning. Ryan McGuire, who was our old program director that came in from Michigan, that brought in Josh Vernier and that brought in Mike Wicket. And so those are some of the names that have come here that kind of helped this station get started some 15 years ago. And of course, we can't forget, you know, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, a guy that really called me one day out of the blue and says, "Hey, you want to do a postgame show with me?" I go, "Where?" He goes, "There's this new radio station in town, 1250 WSSP. Come on over." I go, "Yeah, I can do that. You're going to pay me?" He goes, "Yeah, we'll pay you." I said, "Well, I'm in." And the rest is history.
So the Fandemonium is unveiled tonight. 5 o'clock, right? 5 o'clock tonight?
Yeah. Yeah,
5 o'clock tonight. They're going to unveil the brackets for the personalities on the Fan over the years, and I've been with the Fan as my flagship station now for 10 years. I can't believe it, but it is.
I know. So it's been that long.
I know. I can't believe it's been. You and I have been doing the postgame show now for a decade. That's just
years.
Amazing. Amazing. Yep, yep. So anyway, it's going to be unveiled tonight, and I'm sure that's going to be a lot of talk in the Milwaukee area. And for those that have listened on whatever app it is for a long, long time around the state, and Packers fans everywhere, you can chime in on all of that, and they'll let you know. And Gary and the Big Show and everybody this afternoon, they unveil that. Give me your thoughts as the news broke that they have picked up Devin Funchess as a wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, and we were talking a little bit about that yesterday before, you know, it even happened about, you know, what would you like to see the Packers do here in free agency, you know, with this at the end of it here. And I thought they'd pick up one receiver. Now, I thought the Anderson kid probably had a chance, but when I saw that contract that he signed with Carolina go, there was no way that Goody was going to give that kind of money up. So I think he falls in line with the kind of money and the kind of deal that they want to do. I think it falls in line with the 1 year, a veteran guy that's been around, that kind of knows the system. I thought a long time ago, Bill, coming out of Michigan, I thought he would have been a perfect fit for Aaron Rodgers and his offense with Mike McCarthy, because he was a guy, you know, remember he was a tight end at Michigan, but he had that, He had that versatility where you probably could move him around a lot, and I think that's what you saw out of his career. By no means is he Davante Adams or, you know, no one like that, but I think he helps fill a void if you're not going to bring back Kumaro, if you're not going to bring back Geronimo Allis. And I think it gives him some sort of flexibility.
I like the fact that they've got a veteran. You know, the question then becomes, and we had Mick Mixon on, the voice of the Panthers earlier, saying that, you know, he said, look, Aaron Rodgers will be throwing him the football, probably the best quarterback he's ever played with. Now, certainly the most dynamic has been Cam Newton, but if Aaron Rodgers is throwing a football and trusting him, this is a guy that he says can go up and get it. So you tell me, how quick do you think that relationship becomes solid enough to where he can be the offset to Davante Adams?
I'm just going to be honest with you. You look at the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. I just haven't seen a guy that they brought off the street as a receiver that they loved or that they liked or that just got into the offense with Rodgers. It just hadn't happened. I mean, Jared Cook maybe a little bit, but that was kind of weird. I mean, you just go back and look at some of the receivers that they've tried to bring in, and it just never worked. Jimmy Graham just never really worked. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think the jury's out. And then if you look around the league, and this probably getting off topic a little bit, but if you look around the league, we draft three rookie receivers. And then I saw like four or five rookie receivers last year had like outstanding years. We had three of them a couple years ago, and neither one of these guys panned out to be. I just don't know. I mean, I think you just never know with this offense. You never know with Rodgers. You don't know who he likes or who's not in the right spot where they're supposed to be or whether he likes them or not. I still think all that stuff plays in it. I don't know. What I do know is Funchess is not what he was, you know, when he first came into the league. So I think that's going to have some play in it as well.
Then I wanted to ask you about the Packers, because we're sitting here discussing who's going to be the next one that could possibly step up, whether it's Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Geronimo Allison, Equanimeous St. Brown, who didn't play last year. I mean, you're looking for a rookie to come in and solidify that spot, but you're also – one of those guys has to get better.
Well, I think your hopes are that St. Brown, because you hadn't seen him, may have the most upside. I mean, MVS, we saw him in the first game, Bill. You and I, we were up in Chicago, and he catched that pass. Go, oh, my God, okay, this is it. Now, we saw what he did at the end of the year before. We thought, okay, yeah, this guy's going to be pretty good. And then just had a horrible year for the Packers. So, but I think you sure bet maybe you put some money on St. Brown and hope that he'd be the guy that they can get something out of, that he can be a go-to guy. Now, he was pretty good at Notre Dame. He could catch all kinds of passes, a lot like Funchess. I mean, he's a guy that you can throw it up to. He could go get it. He's got nice speed. He's got size. He was about 6'5". So I think that would be one of the guys for me that you look out and say, you know, what is his ceiling on this guy? And I think his ceiling should be pretty high.
Now, the question a lot of Packers fans are asking is Clay Matthews. I personally, sure. The only way Clay comes back is if he takes almost a veteran's minimum and he's playing middle, because he's not going to unseat Zadarius or Preston. I mean, he would be a good backup, but the only way he comes back is if he goes in the middle with Kirksey.
Well, he could be a rotational guy for you. I mean, I'd love to have him back. Just in a middle reason, I'd love for that guy to finish his career right here in Green Bay, right where it started. Now, he could be your fourth outside backer, because he's going to have to play behind Rashard Gary. So, yeah, he'll be your third, so you have to play behind him. And then you're right, he can give you something at inside backer. I mean, he probably could be a starter day one for you beside Kirksey, if that's what they want to do, or if that's what he wants to do. At this point, I don't think Clay Matthews is really in a position to say, I'm only going to come to Green Bay if I play outside backer. I think he knows that those three spots are already taken. So if he comes here, he knows he'll be the fourth rotational guy and probably have a chance to start at inside backer. I think he realized that. And listen, Bill, the game has changed today. Inside backers are not what they used to be. You don't have a lot of guys that they like to run the football with up the middle. It's more of a spread you out passing game. I think that fits Clay Matthews' style.
By the way, Ndamukong Suh has now agreed to a one-year deal with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. He wanted to go play with Tom Brady. That breaking news on the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network, powered by Radio.com Sports and brought to you by 5-Hour Energy Shots and two great tropical flavors now. But Ndamukong Suh not going to be coming to Green Bay anytime soon. He agrees to a one-year deal with the Buccaneers. I don't know what the amount is. I don't have those details, but he is going to Tampa Bay. Is Tampa Bay now a contender in the NFC?
Yeah, I mean, along with Green Bay, along with the 49ers, along with the New Orleans Saints, I mean, they're in a tough division. I mean, they've got to figure out how to get out of the NFC South. I mean, that's no cakewalk. You know, listen, Tom Brady's been playing, what has he been playing, up in the AFC East over there? Mm-hmm. Who's he playing at? I mean, there's nobody. Buffalo, maybe? I mean, so now he's coming over to the NFC where it's stacked. And he's going to find that out. Now, he's got to play Rodgers this year. He's got to go play Drew Brees. I mean, that is a tough division that he's in over there.
Talking with Gary Ellison, former Packer and Badger running back, co-host of The Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan in Milwaukee. Let's do this. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. More with GE. Gary Ellison coming up next in The Bill Michaels Show.
You're listening to The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. Glad to have you. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are enjoying the day. Hopefully you are as well. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at Quick Trip, reminding you to stop in and you use your Quick Rewards card. There's a few key purchases you can make, but they're giving away a Chevy 2020 Trax here at the end of the week. So stop in and check out our friends from Quick Trip. We certainly appreciate them being a part of the program. Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. So, GE, we were talking a little bit about the Packers, a little bit about Tampa Bay, but give me your thoughts on the rest of the division. Nick Foles going to Chicago, first and foremost.
Well, I mean, I don't know how that's going to work out. I mean, they could have a problem there. Depends on how they work it. I mean, like, here's the deal. If Nick Foles can be the starting quarterback in out of training camp, I think you'll be fine. But if he doesn't win a job coming out of training camp, and then Mitch Trubisky is your guy, and then all of a sudden they lose three or four games, they pull the plug, now it's going to be Nick Foles. I think you're asking for trouble. I mean, you just don't want a quarterback controversy going into the season. So they set themselves up for one. So they've got to set themselves on who is going to be the starting quarterback, I believe, coming out of training camp. And I think they want it to be Nick Foles. I mean, they gave him a lot of money. They gave a draft pick, so if that's the guy, then he should be got. Otherwise, they risk of losing their locker room.
Which I would completely agree with you. Another guy that has had to kind of pull apart his defense and obviously their offense and losing Stephon Diggs is Zimmer over in Minnesota. I think Minnesota, I mean, if you look at Vegas, they believe Minnesota is still the second-best team in the division, but not by much. They still feel the Packers are the leading team in the division, but not by much.
Sure.
But how bad or how much, we'll say, less threatening are the Minnesota Vikings at this point?
Well, they lost. You talked about it. They lost Diggs on the offense. They lost Griffin. They lost Xavier Rhodes. I mean, and so, I mean, they lost, I think, defensively. That's how they want to win it with Zimmer. They lost some good key players defensively. Now, let's see if they can come back and rebound. They extended Cousin on a deal. So the quarterback, they gave him a little bit more money, gave him some more years on his contract. They want to run the football with Dalvin Cook. I think they'll be okay, but, I mean, they're not world beaters. And I think this may be the last go round for Zimmer. They went and got Cousins because they thought that he was going to push him over the top and get him into the Super Bowl. What we know is that he cannot carry a team. So their offensive line is going to be key. Dalvin Cook is going to be key, and whether he can stay healthy for 16 games.
Going back to the Packers, and we've obviously, you know, read a lot and you know, about what they're doing, but you and I have not really talked about Kirksey, Wagner, my question has always been, is after the deals, is the team better or worse?
Well, I mean, I like Ricky Wagner, former Badger. I mean, of course, you know, I like Badgers, but he's different than Bulaga. I think Bulaga, when right, is probably one of the best right tackles in the game today. When he's right, when he's not hurt, right? But I think Ricky Wagner is probably a better run blocker than Bulaga. But I think if you look at his overall talent, they lost something there. Bulaga is a better overall talent. Most certainly they stepped down. We'll see what they do in the draft. Maybe they take a guy early. The jury's still out. If you look at Kirksey, I think there's a guy who's been hurt a lot. But I watched some film on Kirksey, Bill, and he can get to the football. He can run. He's an athlete. He's a tackling machine. But can he stay healthy? I mean, I think that's what you're looking at with him. That here's a guy, I think, was about 25, 26 years old, relatively young, but has been hurt a lot during his career. So coming to Green Bay, can he stay healthy? Good. Both of these guys are good character guys. You know Brian Gutekunst wants this. They're good character guys. They're good locker room guys. They're good leaders. So that's a plus on that side.
The NFL has now told all teams to close their facilities, not allow players in. And now they are saying that the subcommittee of coaches and general managers want to push the NFL draft back. How much do you think because my question is, if the Packers are relying on rookies to come in and be impactful, how can a rookie come in and be impactful when they're really not allowed around the facility? Other than getting maybe the iPad where they can give it to you and say, okay, go home and study all of this, how much does not being able to be around the guys, Gary, set rookies back?
Well, I think it sets them back a ton. I mean, they need work, they need practice, they need getting a playbook. But here's what has to happen. I go back, I liken this back when we had the strike year, Bill, when I was in the NFL. the leaders, if these guys get drafted, they can get practices together. But now, I don't know about the corona, where we are. Are we not allowed? I don't know any of that yet. But after the draft, if they're still out, can these guys form together and get some practice and get some time working with these guys? If not, yeah, it's going to be tough for these guys to come in and try to play right away. We don't even know when the season's going to start, so we don't know anything like that. So I guess we just have to kind of play it by ear. But you would suspect that, yeah, it's going to be tough. It'll be easier for defensive guys. Now, so what's the kid from Ohio State? Chase Young. Yeah, you Chase just Young. Plug and play him. You just, hey, go get him. I mean, there's no coaching there. But for a lot of these skill position guys, I would say your offensive linemen, right, your receivers, your quarterbacks, even your cornerbacks, unless you're playing cover one, which is, man, it'll be tougher than to pick up the concepts.
How much of a detriment is this? Because we always hear Aaron Rodgers talk about trust. If he can't work out with these guys, you know, I mean, we always talk about building trust in practice. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I look at it this way. This is an offense that's reliant upon its quarterback to understand and trust the guys and vice versa that he's working with. And that's all we heard about. That we didn't need preseason. We're going to learn it all and all that kind of stuff. And then it turned out that it just nothing never materialized. And whether it was Aaron Rodgers or somebody else, I don't know. But how what can you expect? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I think when you look at Rodgers, there is this whole trust thing, right? I mean, he talks about it. Everybody talks about it all the time. I don't know how they make sense of that. I don't know how they work that. But for a lot of teams, all 32 teams are going to be behind the same eight ball here. They are going to be coming in with younger guys not knowing, or free agents not knowing the system. So I think everybody will be starting from the same, you know, the same platform, so to speak. So I think when you look at the Green Bay Packers and what they're doing right now, I still think, you know, they're probably the third, maybe fourth best team in the NFC. So, but I think when you look at, let's just say, if you finish it off, I think I still like what the 49ers have done. I still may have the Saints in front of the Packers, and then the Packers to me are probably third best team in the NFC this year.
It was interesting because Vegas says 9.5 wins, and I want to take the over.
For the Packers?
For the Packers coming into the season, which then it's 9 wins for the Vikings. I think it's 8 wins for the Bears, and then 6.5 wins for the Lions. But I when I said 9.5, I thought, oh, that's kind of low for a team that won 13. But then again, I think they were completely healthy for the most part. Yeah. They had basically the magic touch in career years out of Preston and Zadarius Smith. Mm-hmm. You had a first-year head coach where everything seemed to flow. Aaron Jones was healthy for an entire season.
Right.
It seemed like everything that needed to happen happened. And you know as well as I do, that very rarely repeats itself in the NFL.
Right. And they took advantage of it.
Maybe that's the reason why Vegas is like, you know what, only 9.5 wins out of this team when you look at the overall talent.
Yeah. Well, Vegas is right. I mean, I would say the over. I mean, I think they can win at least 11 games with the team that they have right now. I mean, look around the league, Bill. And all of a sudden, just feel like there's a lot of parity right now in the league. You saw what San Francisco did, but Garoppolo didn't throw the football for an hour and a half.
Right.
I mean, so you look at the teams that are out there right now. There's no teams out there that are world beaters. So I think the Packers are going to be contending again this year.
Always good, my friend. We will go ahead and cut you loose, but we'll be listening this afternoon as you're going to unveil the final 64 that have made the cut, and then the tournament gets underway for Fandemonium with our flagship station out of Milwaukee that you're on, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Should be fun.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun, Bill. You should stay tuned, listen, and see where you fall in on this.
Oh, I will. I will, buddy. You know I'll be listening. We'll see.
Bud.
You think you're number one seed?
Probably not. I mean, I ruffle a lot of feathers, you know what I mean? You know, cause I tell it like it is. And when you tell it like it is, you don't normally get to be a number one seed.
There you go. Always good, my friend. Yeah. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. All right.
See ya. There you go. That's Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80 plus years, they begin to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.